Hi, everyone.
Hello.
I'm Lauren.
I am Ken.
And this is Paradise After Dark.
Dark.
Paradise After Dark is a bi-weekly podcast covering true crime,
unsolved mysteries,
missing people,
urban legends, and the dark side of the Sunshine State.
But first, if you'd like to support the show, please subscribe to our Patreon page at patreon.com/Paradise After Dark Podcast.
And on Patreon, you'll have access to our bonus episodes, our spinoff show Vacation Edition, discounts on our merchandise, and much, much more.
If you have a question, a Florida case suggestion, or you just like to chat, please email us at paradiseafterdarkpodcast@gmail.com.
Well, I think this evening we need to give a little shout out to new patron.
Two new patrons this week.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Bobby and Christina.
Yo, yo.
Thank you so much for supporting the show.
Welcome, welcome.
And we've got some CrimeCon news so far. CrimeCon Austin, June 4th through the 6th, is still a go. And CrimeCon London, June 12th and 13th, is still a go. We will be at both events, so get your tickets early. I believe CrimeCon UK has actually extended their early bird pricing to January 1st. So go ahead and get those tickets quickly and use code PARADISE21 for 10% off your ticket for both events.
You'll get 10% off.
Same promo code, both events.
You know what? I would love it if someone went to both events that we know. Like, or nothing else. Just come meet us in Austin and pack a bag with us and fly over to Pond.
If you're little, maybe we can put you in our suitcase or something.
Yeah, that's exactly. Well, you won't fit in Lauren's suitcase because I've seen how she packs. So, you know what? Can we just do one little thing that's a little different here real quick?
Okay.
Can we give a second shout out to Bobby and Christina because they came in at the big level.
They came in at the true crime level. That's our highest tier on Paradise After Dark's Patreon page. So, yes.
And if you're listening to this, keep an eye out in your mailbox, folks, because
our patrons should be receiving their Christmas gifts. I know several of them have already. They've already posted some stuff on social medias, and they seem to be very happy with their Christmas gifts, which makes me happy because I love to spoil them.
Exactly. And Bobby, check your mailbox because it's on its way.
So this week is going to be a little different. This is our last episode of 2020.
It is. Well, I'm a little different anyway, so what's the difference?
It's going to be our last episode of 2020, and we decided we're going to do a 2020 year in review. We're going to talk about our favorites, our least favorites, the highlights, the lowlights.
You know why?
I feel like this episode is going to be more like our off-topic and uncut that we do on Patreon. On Patreon, we have this bonus show, which is off-topic and uncut.
And sometimes it's so off-topic that Ken, and you know, I'll be honest on that. Here's the thing. If you're on Patreon and you're going to be like, oh my God, does Ken ever shut up?
I know. He runs his mouth.
So,
like, if you want to hear, if you're a bigger Ken fan than you are a Lauren fan,
everybody's a bigger Ken fan.
Then subscribe to Patreon and listen to our off-topic and uncut episodes because all he does is run his mouth.
Well, you know what? Here's the best
part. And it is uncut. I mean, I literally do not edit anything except for sound quality and whatnot. Like everything is as it's completely said.
One of the things too that, like, it's kind of like with the, when we try to do she added the uncut where, I mean, it truly is uncut. Cause she says exactly, just like I said, right there. Cause she's not going to cut that out. On a normal feed, I would have like 722 ums and she would cut it down to like 140, but she doesn't do that on our off topic. Now, the thing about off topic is it's really off topic. There's sometimes where we'll discuss a case that maybe we talked about. Sometimes we'll discuss a game we're playing, or just we'll have general conversation
sometimes
about.
Sometimes we talk about aliens. Sometimes we talk about
Whatever we're doing. It could be a game that we played. It could be something that we did. So it's really a show where if you really want to know a lot more about who we are, some people probably don't care who we are. They just care about the crime aspect, and that's great. Paradise After Dark, and that's great. But on Patreon, the off topic is really good. Well, I think we've released a few of them, just sort of like a teaser. Because some of them, I mean, we've really gone into
depth.
No, we've
released some vacation editions on our main feed, but I think I've only released maybe one off topic.
But and there's times where like where Lauren would take off out of town and she'd leave the keys to the studio. I'd come in and record and I'd boom. That's how I learned how to actually upload stuff because I don't normally do that. Lauren does all that stuff. I do everything else. Lauren just uploads.
So who's the MVP of 2020 in this little Paradise After Dark group?
What do you mean?
Who's MVP? Well, who does everything?
Duh. They know, really. I mean, if you look at the quality of everything, that's Ken. I'm just kidding. I don't. That's not me. That's not me at all. No, but and seriously, and I'm just kind of pushing the off topic because it's really a good way to know who we are.
It's fun.
It's fun for us. And sometimes we get serious.
Sometimes we get serious, but it's really fun to just let off steam kind of because some of the cases we focus on are very dark. And I'm not going to lie when I say that you know, I'm a human being and it affects me. So it's sometimes it's really nice to just turn on the mics and just talk about whatever and not have to focus on murder or missing people or all this sad, horrible stuff. I mean, it is reality of what's happening in our world, but it's sometimes it's nice to just not be on that topic and be off topic.
And one thing is we have a small Patreon base, but we get a lot of feedback from our patrons. Whether they send us,
we have a small Patreon base, but they are so loyal.
We call them family.
They are. We love them so much.
And usually, they'll either get us on Patreon or some will send us a message on Messenger or whatever all this stuff is, or on Twitter, a direct message, just complimenting this or saying this or asking this. And I don't know. We get a lot of good feedback on it. So we're going to push to do something a little bit different next year with the off topics, but some of them are still going to be just Ken running his mouth because sometimes that's just what it takes. And we usually release those, every
other week.
Every other week. So if we release an episode, we won't have an off topic that week. We'll usually have it the following week. But, you know, then the vacation edition is kind of hit or miss depending on how long it takes.
We try to do it monthly. Sometimes life gets in the way, but.
So, well, and like,
if you were to join Patreon now, you'd probably have like a month's worth of stuff to listen to.
Yeah, it's good. So anyway, enough of that. So this is sort of our 2020 year in review. It's kind of just.
God, 2020.
Exactly.
Can I say the F? Can I drop an F bomb? Yes, because we're rated E for. No, we're not rated E for everyone.
We're rated X. No.
Explicit.
NC-17? So, wait, no, we're not video, my bad.
2020.
Yeah, this is a shit show. That's all I have to
say. Although there was some good stuff, but let's start out with our top three episodes that we did this year. Ken, we're going to go 3-2-1. So.
Wait, 3-2-1?
3-2-1.
Okay, what if I have an honorable mention? Can I throw that in there too?
Why don't you just get your honorable mention out of the way?
Okay. Well, we're going to go 3-2-1, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I really had a conflict between 4 and 3, if you will. So I'm going to give 4 an honorable mention. And the reason is this is a case that I brought to Lauren. I said, hey, what about this case? And when she told me, she's like, are you serious? I said, yeah. So she starts looking into some stuff. I looked at some stuff. But this is actually one that I remember happening as it sort of happened. And I was literally devastated. This one here really hit me hard because I'm a I can't say it. Oh, Washington football team fan.
Yes.
I'm a Washington football team fan. But see, I'm tried and true. So to me, it's HTTR all the way. Take it for what you want. But so the Washington football team player, Sean Taylor, that really hit me hard because he was such a quality player.
He was
an athlete, but he was also a good person. So, I mean, he did a lot of good things. He worked with his family. He worked with the community. He wasn't one of those guys that was, I mean, he played hard on the field and he was just a crusher, if you will.
And I have to admit, when you came to me with that case, Ken doesn't come to me with cases. I come to him and say, this is what we're doing. Here you go.
Usually I do put some stuff out there. Mrs. Waples and Naples. That was totally me.
Yeah, that was you. But when you came to me with that case, I was like, really? So he comes to me with the case and then it's my job. I start researching it. And as I research it, I'm like, holy shit. I cannot believe this happened. Like, yeah. And the case itself, and it hits close to home because the perpetrators are from our area where we live.
Yeah.
And they had traveled over to Miami where Sean Taylor lived. And that case surprised me with how, I don't know what the right word is,
how it all kind of came together. It was right. So intertwined between our, you know, it was local, but it also was meant something to me because of my team.
Right.
And it was still sort of Miami. So it's all Florida based.
And it was very sad. He was 24 years old, I believe.
And he was shot in the leg. And that's the thing that really, he was shot in the leg, but they just happened to get that one spot in the leg.
The femoral artery. Yeah.
One other thing that it did too is it actually prompted some Facebook messages from friends of mine who I'm friends with them, but they won't listen to the show. And I'm not saying because they don't like me. Maybe they don't. I don't know. And it would be easy for someone not to like me, but, it was really,
you're very likable.
It was really, you know, kind of cool to have them say, "Hey man, I just listened to this episode. I didn't realize it." And we had a lot of feedback on Facebook and we picked up a few new listeners.
I was actually quite surprised at the feedback we got from that episode. I wasn't expecting it.
So that was my honorable mention. Actually, you know what? I'm going to put that at three. I'm going to go ahead and put that at my three.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, what was your original three?
Well, you know, not the Sean Taylor, because I was kind of bouncing back and forth. The one that actually was a vacation edition that Lauren brought up, you know, most of them usually, I'll be honest, most of those are usually me, the vacation edition. But Lauren brought up Hannah Up. And the reason I like that case is because it brought to light so many different things. And I probably said it on the main feed. I know I've said it on off topic. I said it during the vacation edition. If you go back and listen to Hannah Up, I think we released that.
We did release that on our main feed.
That's why I was kind of conflicted because I'm like, we did release that.
Yeah.
But that was changed.
A fascinating case.
It changed aspects of things like I call it the Moore Murray.
Moore Murray.
But also some of the other local, you know, the local case that we spoke about, you know, on one of our cases. But it's like now when something happens, I'm looking at a case going, okay, well, maybe, just maybe, let's look at everything. It's a possibility. So that would be my honorable mention. I'm going to roll with the Sean Taylor to be my number three.
All right. Well, my number three is Taylor McAllister. And my reasoning was, I feel like my top three are based solely on the effort that I put into it and the ones that I'm most proud of, I guess. And, it's not necessarily based on it is based on the case and the story itself, but Taylor McAllister, we are actually coming up on the 4-year anniversary of her murder, and speaking with her family, with her father and mother, digging into that case, I still get super frustrated when I allow myself to really think about it. And I try not to get emotionally involved in some cases, but this case, Taylor McAllister, her voice, her singing, she just was a beautiful, beautiful person. And I wanted so badly to cover this case and put it out there and allow her parents to say what they wanted to say. And we did that.
Yeah.
And I feel really good about that. There's still no justice in this case, which breaks my heart, but it's definitely in my top three as far as the cases we've covered this year. And I'm getting emotional right now just thinking about it.
I know.
But anyway, just hashtag justice for Taylor 22. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, their Facebook page. Say that one more time just so people go and join.
Hashtag justice for Taylor 22.
Yeah.
And her parents are strong advocates. They have gone above and beyond what I think I would even be capable of doing in their position, and their strength and their bravery and what they're willing to do and say just to try and get justice for their daughter is humbling and admirable.
Yeah.
And
well, one thing about them too, I think, is if, and I'm going to say this about a few if you go back and listen to our interviews, the people that we've interviewed, I think Taylor's parents are one of those group of people that if you ever found yourself in a similar situation and you just kind of needed some guidance, some help, you go to hashtag justicefortaylor22 and you send them a message. I have no doubt in my mind they would be right there for you.
Yeah.
I mean,
I agree.
They say, hey, try this because they've done it. And I'm going to go ahead and just say this. That's my number two.
Is that your number two?
See, Taylor McAllister is my number two. One of the reasons is obviously their parents. And I think because they are, like you said, such advocates and they are so compassionate about this and as they should be. But the one thing they've been able to do is they've been able to separate kind of like themselves. Like they're fighting for Taylor. But when you talk to them, you can talk to them like normal people. They don't put themselves out there. So in other words, a lot of people I think are sort of like, and we are, here when Laura and I do an interview, we always discuss, hey, let's make sure not to say this or that because we don't want to upset them. They're kind of tough to upset because they're so strong.
And nothing's off limits with them.
And like I said, and that'd be my number two case that we did. And let me just tell you something. When Lauren said she gets into it, she gets emotional. That case. Let me go back to that case. So it's about 4:30, maybe a quarter to five in the morning. And I wake up, I'm like, what the hell is this music I'm hearing? So Lauren's in the farthest room you can get from our bedroom, but I can hear the music playing. So I go in there. I get up. I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, I look and she's got tears in her eyes. She goes, listen to this. And she's playing the music. Taylor's music. And I'm like, wow, that's beautiful music. She goes, I know. This is the next case. Look at this. Let me tell you. And she gives me the background on this. I'm like, wow. And then it kind of evolved into.
Because that's what I do at 4:30 in the morning.
Exactly. Well, that just goes to show you what Lauren put into that case. And it wasn't just Lauren. Obviously, I do my own research but a lot of it's, I sort of piggyback off a lot of her stuff. But one of the things with Lauren that she does is she gets like so deep involved in some of this stuff. In that case there, she was so involved to where like 5 days in a row. What are you doing? Well, I'm reading this. She was reading like trial transcripts of these douchebags that, and that she puts herself in there deep. And I guess this is one of the cases where I saw her deep into it. I got deep into it. I feel like we've made an alliance with her parents. We've made friends and we've kind of helped directed them to get this case out there in some other places. And I think they have an episode.
I was just going to bring that up. I am so proud of them because they were, when we first initially made contact with them and I spoke to them, they were struggling. They couldn't even get local news to speak to them. And I said, well, come on our show and you can say whatever you want. And that's what happened. And I'm not taking credit for anything, but since they've been on our show, they've gotten a Facebook page going. They have a huge following, yep. Justice for Taylor. They've gotten a show on Investigation Discovery.
That's
Still
what it
a
is,
Mystery. Yep. Still a Mystery is the name of the show. And they did a segment on Taylor. And I'm just so proud of them for just keeping and pushing and pushing and pushing because that's what you have to do sometimes, I think, to keep the story alive. And that's what one of the reasons Paradise After Dark is what it is. That's my passion, is to keep these stories alive until there's justice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have the other stuff that we do, but the serial killers, I mean, that's the true crime aspect, but this portion right here is what Lauren said she wanted to focus on this year. And she really hit it. And the thing about the Taylor McAllister case is Taylor's murderers. This case is solved. The problem is there's no convictions. There's no arrest.
Right.
It's not a case.
We know who did it.
It's not an unsolved case. It's a solved case. The problem is the shitty police work that was performed. And I don't know if it was the shitty police work, lazy police work.
I think it was just shitty police work, honestly.
And I mean, it's like everything was there. I mean, this thing was given to you. This was a silver platter case and they poured it out. And I don't understand it. So that would be my number two case. And again, I think it was just some of the passion that I saw Lauren put into it. Some of the way I felt when we spoke with the parents, who we've actually spoke with numerous times.
Yeah. We've spoken to them since the episode.
When we were doing Get Vocal, they joined us on there.
Yeah.
And we learned a few more things. It's just that case there to me was, because she was such a beautiful, you know, beautiful soul.
Person, a beautiful soul. That's perfect. The perfect way to put it.
And that to me was a very tragic situation. We've had some cases that really hit home, but I think that one there, because we have a daughter, and I think that one kind of hits us a little bit. And I think that would be, you know, one of the cases that we covered. That was one of my, I don't want to say my favorite case because I hate putting it that way, but it was the one that really stood out. And like I said, I'm going to put that at number two.
So my number two is the Teresa Seavers case.
Damn it.
What?
Go ahead.
No. Well, let me tell you why. Because number one, it's very, very local to us. And I followed it from day one, the day that it came out that Teresa Seavers, a holistic doctor in Bonita Springs, Florida, was murdered. I followed it from day one. And you know what I said from day one? It's the husband.
It's but always the husband.
It took about, what, like 4 years?
Was it 4 years? Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, because
it happened in 2015. Yeah. So it took about 4 years, but the husband and his friend and his friend's friend were finally convicted. But that was a four-parter. There was so much information in that case. We did four parts, part one, two, three, four on that case. And I worked really, really hard on it. And I got a lot of feedback, good feedback. And that's, people think that, oh, well, I don't need to message them and tell them they're great because they already know that they're great. No, that's not true. Yeah, no. If you send me a message and say, hey, that was a great episode, that will make my week.
Yeah.
And
we got a lot of that on that case.
We got a lot of good feedback. It was a very, very sad case, very twisted case. And justice, I believe, was served. All that were involved have been caught and convicted and sentenced. And it's all wrapped up in a nice little bow. But Teresa Seavers is still gone. And that's sad to me.
Yeah.
But
yeah, because of course you got other victims because the children.
Yeah, they did.
Who are now parentless, children. Period. I mean.
And, but that's my number two, I think, just because I worked so hard on it and we did get such good feedback on it. I think we did a great job on that one.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and put this out there. That was my number one.
Well, what the heck?
So, well, you know what? Here, because that was one of those where I was driving to work and it came across the news when that happened. Hey, this is what happened in this, you know, in Bonita Springs at this home. And I'm like, oh, wow. Well, then it was like a progression. So I remember being part of that. I remember being part of that, if you will, from day one, from the day it happened. I heard it on the news and it kind of just, I watched the news and you sort of progress and you grow with it. Then, of course, we covered it. And of course, like Lauren said, you get a lot of feedback. Now, if there's any case that we've ever done that I personally have delved right into and sort of researched everything I could learn would have been this case, the Seavers case, because again, it's very local.
I learned a lot. I went down that rabbit hole for weeks. I know.
Well, see, that was one of those where Lauren's like, hey, this is going to be a two-parter. All right. This is going to be a three-parter. All right.
A four-parter.
This could be a four-parter. I'm like, oh, I have got to step my game up. So I really jumped into this case, but then I started learning things that I didn't know here and I didn't know there. And I'm like, wow, you know, so you just keep progressing with it. And I think we had some great courtroom. One of them was just, you kind of had to be part of that courtroom.
That's why and you'll notice if you're an avid listener, sometimes I will take the court audio from the courtroom and use that in our episode, because there's no way for us to put it across the way that it came across in the courtroom. You're not going to get the full effect unless you actually hear what was heard in the courtroom. And I'm going to skip ahead of you. I'm going to go ahead of you with my number one, because this is just a great lead in to,
I already know.
My Mike. Number one is the Mike Williams case.
I knew that was coming.
And speaking of the courtroom, with that case, was it a three-parter?
Three-parter.
I was tasked myself with somehow writing these outlines. What we do is we write an outline.
Notes, basically.
Notes, yes. But I'm thinking to myself, Brian Winchester was the murderer of Mike Williams. And
was it Brian or Jason?
It was Brian.
Okay.
And Brian sat in court and he told the whole story of what happened and everything that happened, what he did with Mike Williams, how he killed him. And there was just no way for me to portray that to our listeners unless I just took that audio and put it in the podcast. And sometimes I feel like that's lazy podcasting.
Well,
but that's not my intention to be lazy. It's my intention
to be
for our listeners to hear. And that was another very emotional one for me. I got very emotional. I got very deep into it. I watched the disappearance of Mike Williams on the show Disappeared on Investigation Discovery back in like 2011, I believe.
Yeah, back near when it happened, I think, wasn't it?
No, it happened in, I think it was the year 2000, but you remember that show on Investigation Discovery called Disappeared?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so they did an episode on Mike Williams.
You know what? I think we did watch that after the case.
Yes.
You saw it before.
But it was before they found his body. It was before they found the killers. It was when he was just straight up missing.
Yeah.
And so that always stuck in my head. And then when I found out that they had found out what happened to him, I was sucked right in. And it was another one that literally just sucked me right in. And I just went down that rabbit hole and learned everything. And it's so fascinating. Again, I don't like to use the word fascinating because
it's not, it's a little more macabre than that. But yeah, I get it. We're kind of a dark.
Right.
Yeah.
So Mike Williams is definitely my number one. That was the first episode we did of 2020, by the way. And that is still my favorite episode of 2020.
Now just, I'll give you mine and I'll give you a quick exit. Now, since we're doing that, I had to call Lauren the other day because for some reason, somehow one of our episodes got taken off. It's my favorite case. Our audio sucked, but the research and the information provided, it was a two-parter. Was it our second episode?
I believe so, yeah.
It was Crash and Murder. And I want to discuss that on one of our off topics sometime. I really want to dive into that particular case.
We could redo it.
No, we're not going to redo it because I think it's perfect the way it is. Our audio, remember, we were new. You have to have those baby steps. So whether our audio sucks compared to what it is now, I mean, maybe some people think our audio sucks right now. Back then,
I hope not, because we spent a lot of money.
Well, and we have a studio, which helps. I mean, we actually have our own little private room that we do all this stuff in. The cool decorations. But that case there, that's my favorite case of all time. So Lauren, she has to go back and put it back on. But that one there, I actually physically walked by and saw his car there that day. So I think like with the Seavers case for me, because it's so close and when you're close to it, all the information comes in and you get some of that like local lore, if you will. You get some of the local feedback. You get the local news, the local, what's the word for like, not lore, but the local rumor, if you will.
Yeah.
So with the Seavers case, with that case, there was so much local stuff that it sort of overwhelms you. And I think that's one of the things that I like so much about the Seavers case. So.
Is that your number one?
Seavers case was my number one.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, remember it was the Sean Taylor. I discussed Hannah Up as a runner-up, no pun intended. And then Taylor McAllister, of course, as a number two. But the Seavers case, and only because it was so close to me that I knew so much about that case, I was so well-informed on the Seavers case that that would be my number one.
All right. We've been going on and on and on for a while. So let's just take a moment and get a word from our sponsors and then we will be back. Hey, you guys, especially those of you here in Southwest Florida, listen up. I just got the coolest new bike. It's a Fuji Cape May Cruiser. It's smooth and easy to ride and it's perfect for just pedaling around town or even light trails if I feel like pushing myself a little bit harder. I'm so excited about this bike. Cycle Shack in Naples hooked me up. Not only did Jane and Teddy work with me to help me find the perfect bike, they hooked me up with some super cool accessories. A basket, a bell, you know, all the bells and whistles. So now all you Paradise After Dark listeners are going to get to listen to my new biking adventures each week. And if you're like me and looking for something to do, something to keep you from sitting on your bum at home all day on the couch eating bonbons and potato chips, check out Cycle Shack at 7211 Vanderbilt Beach Road in Naples, Florida, or give them a call at 239-331-2065. You will not be disappointed. Cycling is something that I never expected myself to be into, but here I am. I'm starting out with a cruiser. Who knows? Maybe I'll be sporting them little special bike pants soon and riding all Tour de France style. And if you do end up at Cycle Shack, make sure to tell them Paradise After Dark sent you. Okay, so what is your favorite new or newly discovered podcast of 2020?
I'm going to say Dr. Death was one that I listened to. No, it's a long form. It's like 7 episodes. But it's about this doctor who was kind of a shit doctor. And he did some stuff that was really malicious. He messed people up. I mean, he was like a back doctor or a spinal doctor, neurologist, really messing people up. And that's kind of, I'm going to be honest with you. I like the regular day-to-day cases, if you will. So there's certain episodes, you know, certain podcasts that I listen to that do like, you know, one case and they tell you in a day or, you know, kind of like we do, or a two-parter. But I really like long form.
I do too. I like the long form podcast.
So with that being said, now I'm going to go over two. There's one, Scene of the Crime I found this year and listened to, which gives you a lot of in-depth details of the Delphi case. So their first season is a Delphi case where you really get a lot of detail of the suspects, the signatures. There was a lot there. You know, they kind of give you a lot of information that I didn't know. A lot of, and almost, it, literally, this is what I did too. And I don't know why I have never done this. So when I'm listening to Scene of the Crime, it's like any other podcast. I don't do this to all of them, but there's some where it's like, they hit me. I'm like, you know what? I got to look into that more. So I get online, I'm on the computer, I'm looking. So I bring up the map, I'm looking at the Delphi Bridge, and I'm literally trying to, so I'm taking what I listen to in the podcast, and I'm trying to lay it out on the screen and like, okay, well, this is what they said here. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense because I never thought of it that way. Because until you actually look at the bridge, you really don't get an aspect of, I mean, even if you watch the video of the guy on the bridge, you don't get the aspect of what that bridge is. I mean, it's spooky. I mean, unless you live there, if you're trying to walk across this bridge, it really would.
I say we take a road trip to Delphi, Indiana.
That is so you. You like to do that. I do. Let's go to Scene of Crimes everywhere.
Scene of the Crime. I should
exactly
be on that show.
And of course, Mike Morfort, he was one of the producers on there.
He just moved down here to Florida.
But just a quick aside, not anything pertaining to what we're talking about tonight. Now, Mike Morfort has a case called, he works with another favorite of mine. We met him at CrimeCon. I can't think
Gibby.
Of his name. No, not Gibby. His name's Mike too. But, I can't
Kyle think of his Burtis name. Was on Murder in My
exactly.
Family.
Well, that's what I was getting at. So Mike Morfort does a case called Murder in My Family. So one of Lauren's most passionate cases that she's had.
Kyle Burtis.
It's Kyle Burtis. That's the one that really just.
That was my first one that I really got passionate about because I spoke at length with his mother.
Yeah. And she's, and we still are in contact with her and communicate.
I literally just communicated with her on Facebook today.
Exactly. So, well, she did an episode with Mike Morfort, which you should go listen to. It's the Kyle Burtis case and it's Murder My Family, Mike Morfort. He's got a great podcast, but I like talking to the guy. We communicated with him and get vocal. Well, he's one of the producers of Scene of the Crime and they did a fantastic job on this. And it is a long form, but they just came out with a new season. I haven't started it. Actually, I'm lying.
I started it.
I did. I'm lying. I did kind of start it. It's, called,
it's about a couple in a hotel.
Exactly. It's called Murder in My Room or Room 260.
Something like that.
In 1980, this housekeeper walks in at the Holiday Inn in Williamsburg, Iowa, and she opens the door to room 260, and this nasty scene. It's like just blood everywhere. It's crazy. And there was two guests that were identified as Roger Atkinson and what was the other? Rose
something.
Burkett. Burkert. Burkett? Burkett? And they guess he had been beaten to death.
Yes.
So I'm waiting. I don't want to say, you know, I hate to say that I'm excited to listen to it, but I'm ready to listen to it. So there's mine. So Scene of the Crime is probably my favorite that I found this year, newly discovered. A lot. I still listen to a lot of the ones I have for years. There is one that I really want to start once I get kind of caught up on everything. I've got a lot of podcasts to catch up on. It's football season, so I have a lot of Washington football team podcasts that I listen to get informed. Is Maggie Freeling's Unjust and Unsolved.
I've listened to a few of those. I'm not all caught up, but I'm a huge fan of Maggie Freeling.
Girl crush
for days. I got to meet her at CrimeCon in 2019.
She's so awesome. Just laid back.
So down to earth. I'm so excited. I'm so in awe of her. The work that she did on Maura Murray's case and the work that she's doing now with her Unjust and Unsolved. I don't know if I've mentioned on the main feed, but I know I've mentioned on Off Topic and Uncut about my feelings about wrongful convictions and how they happen. And they happen more than we know. And I love that she's bringing light to that. I should have put that as my favorite
I haven't started yet. So, I mean, that's my go-to when I'm caught up from Scene of the Crime.
Right. Well, I've listened to a few of them. They're great. I love Maggie. Maggie, I know you're not going to listen to us, but
you never know.
I love you. I love you, Maggie. I love you.
She's a hell of a journalist too. I mean, she brings amazing journalism hardcore.
I would have to say she's one of my idols.
Yeah.
But so, my favorite new podcast that I discovered this year was Tom Brown's Body. And it's from Texas Monthly, Skip Hollingsworth, yeah. I believe is his name. He's a journalist. And I don't know why it sucked me in. It's about this man boy, 18, I believe.
Did you just say man boy?
18 years old. Named Tom Brown, he lived in Canadian, Texas. That actually, the name of the town is Canadian, and he
thought it was Canada.
No, it's Canadian.
Oh,
and then he went missing, and they ended up finding his body, but they still don't know what happened.
But you don't know about the body till like episode 7 or 8. I listened to it too.
Yeah, you don't know about the body until the very end. The last episode, I think it's like an 8-episode long form podcast, but it's so well put together and it's so well narrated. And I think narration has a lot to do with if somebody's a crappy narrator, it's hard to listen to. I hope I'm not a crappy narrator.
I am. To give you an idea about Lauren and Tom Brown's body. So
I know what story you're going
to
tell.
One night we go out to dinner. Well, she had just started listening to this and she's telling me, she's like, oh my God, I found this new podcast and it's called Tom Brown's Body. So she starts describing this to me, right? This is on the way to go out to dinner. So she tells me all about it. We go, we have dinner and a few drinks and then a few more drinks and she has more drinks and then more drinks because I'm driving home. So I have to stop with the drinks, but she has a few more drinks. Then we get in the car and we go home. So we're talking. She goes, oh my God, did I tell you about this podcast? I said, yeah, baby, you told me about the podcast. So we're driving. She's in the backseat of the truck. She goes, oh my God, I wonder what happened to Tom Brown's body. We're not going to find out till next time. Hopefully it'll tell us the next episode. So that's where I learned about Tom Brown's body, which I did listen to. I thought it was great.
It was a great podcast.
And there's supposed to be more to come. Like, but
what happened to Tom Brown's body?
I mean, they haven't told us yet, but. Well, I don't know what happened to Tom Brown's body. So anyway.
Moving along.
So anyway. All right. Well, obviously, you know, in 2020, they always have like the, you know, the breakdown top 10, blah, 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 that we're doing. And I'm really enjoying this. You know, I mean, it's kind of fun to sort of just kind of go off the rails a little bit and kind of just let you know about some of the things that we do because we listen to podcasts too. Not only do we run a podcast and we do a podcast and we're all about true crime, but, you know, obviously, you know, here we are. So what, Lauren, is your true crime highlight of the year? I'll just put that.
All right. So I have a bunch.
Oh, shit.
It was never specified that I could only choose one.
Oh, Jesus.
So my first true crime highlight of the year is the Golden State Killer admitting his guilt on every rape and murder he did and being sentenced to life in prison. And he is going to rot
and
die in prison.
Son of a bitch.
That was great. I listened to that live all day. My phone was dying because I had it on. I can't remember which network or whatever had it live, but I had it going all day. I listened to the whole thing and I heard him say, guilty, guilty, guilty. And I was like, oh, you stupid motherfucker. As I'm staring at a photo of him right now, because there's a photo of him in our studio. You know, right in front of my face. I hate him.
That's the thing I know about Lauren.
He will be in hell.
The two people that scare Lauren the most are the original Night Stalker and the Night Stalker.
Yes.
It's true. The Night Stalkers scare the shit out of Lauren. Richard Ramirez is one of them. Yes, he's the scariest looking motherfucker there is.
Richard Ramirez scares the shit out of me. And
GSK does too.
State Killer scares the shit out of me.
Not anymore. That son of a bitch is going to rot in hell.
Good.
Okay, so do you want to go on with yours?
I have one more true crime highlight of the year. Michael Turney was charged with the murder of Alyssa Turney. And
yeah, that's right.
That is huge. I had another podcast called It's Hard to Talk About, and there's 12 episodes. I'm unsure at this point if I'm going to continue it or not and do a season two. Right now, I'm not focusing on it, but maybe in the future I will continue with it. But during season one, I actually spoke to Sarah Turney. And if you're at all familiar with the true crime world, you know who Sarah Turney is. And she's so sweet. She's so easy to talk to. And I got to interview her. And once I speak to someone, it's almost just like they're my family and I want what they want and I'm on their side 100% and I'm rooting for them. And I mean, I was rooting for Sarah Turney. I was rooting for Alyssa Turney way before I ever even spoke to Sarah. Her, yeah. But now that Michael Turney has been charged with the murder of Alyssa, he hasn't gone to trial yet, but, I'm so looking forward to seeing how that plays out. Voices for Justice is Sarah Turney's podcast. Yeah. And check that out. If you want to hear the whole story about her sister, Alyssa Turney, who went missing in 2001.
Yeah. Was it 2001?
It was 2001.
Well, the thing is she has like boxes of all these things that she goes through, whether it be videotapes or documents. So each episode she goes through all this stuff and she actually does interviews and talks and some of the stuff with her father. That's a really good one because I don't even have that on my list and I don't know how I missed it. Yes. I mean, I was thinking of true crime highlight, meaning not necessarily like true crime world, but just things in crime. So
I have that and then.
Wait, can I put mine out there?
Yeah, and then put yours out there.
I'm going to let you finish. But let me just get mine out there.
All right, Kanye.
Hey, did you just call me Kanye?
Mm-hmm.
Look here, Taylor. Chill. Okay? Just chill out. Let me tell you about how the awards I should be getting right now. Anyway, let me just get my two out there because I didn't realize that we were going to go into this long, drawn out list that Lauren has. But true crime highlights of the year. This one was the one that really I'm like, this is awesome because this means that things are starting to happen, which I find to be odd because ever since, what's her name? Ghislaine Maxwell got arrested.
Yeah.
Have you noticed of so many human trafficking and child sex trafficking situations have been busted or broken up? She didn't hang herself like Epstein did not. But you understand what I'm saying? What? You're looking at me funny.
I'm trying to figure out what you're getting at.
The trafficking, if you look at them, they're busting 140 people here found, 42 people here found, 28 kids found.
That's not on my radar at the moment.
Well, I mean, but that's one of the things in crime. So they're starting to bust up all these child sex trafficking rings and these just human trafficking rings. And one of the things about the true crime world is in every episode when somebody's missing, they always say, well, they could have been kidnapped for human trafficking. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it could have been one of those where, you know, you understand what I'm saying? So to me, there is a connect because they say, well, they could have been kidnapped for this or kidnapped for that. And it seems to me like human trafficking is always brought up as an option if someone is missing, right?
Well, would you agree? I mean, yeah.
Because okay. There's a lot of them being busted. There was Florida. There was like 140 people arrested or found in not found, not arrested, but found in Florida, Georgia, South Carolina. So to me, that's like the big crime highlight of the year for me. Ever since she's been arrested, it seems like they're busting more and more of these, and they're busting up these rings, which is a fantastic thing. That is a
highlight. Yes.
And the other one, literally, we just found out today, and I'll let you tell it because you already know what it is. We just found out today because we actually did one of our off topics. Actually, my off topic.
Yes. It is not confirmed.
It's not confirmed.
Not confirmed.
Not confirmed. But I think that if you look at everything, I think this is it.
The unidentified hiker.
Here in
Collier County. He was found in July of 2018. He was a hiker. He went by the trail name Mostly Harmless and Denim. And sometimes he signed into some hostels with the name Bill Billamy. Mm-hmm. Ben Billamy.
Ben Billamy. That's right. You're right.
And as of today, I'm hesitant to put the name out there because it has not been confirmed through DNA, but
everything is pretty close.
You know how the true crime world is and Reddit, and there's been some side by side photo comparisons, and I personally am 100% sure that he's been identified.
I looked at it too. I'm convinced.
Yes, I am convinced he's been identified. Mostly Harmless. Google it, and you will just find.
So we won't put the other name out.
I don't. Okay. I'm not comfortable putting it out there
But I'm confident in saying that I'm happy that this man has been found. So maybe we can find his family. You know, if in fact this is true, if it's legit, and the match is made, this man can go home.
Yes, I agree. And so to me, that's a highlight. Great. It's been a huge, it's been a big thing on Reddit and Web Sleuth, and there's several Facebook pages or Facebook groups dedicated to finding the identity of this man.
And we did a pretty big off topic on this case.
We did do a huge off topic on this case.
There's one of the Collier County Sheriff's episodes is called, the podcast is called,
Sworn Statement.
Sworn Statement. They did a whole long drawn out podcast on this. We actually met the narrator of that podcast.
Yes. Yes. So yes, that's a highlight. If this is true and I'm like 99.9% sure it is, I think that he has been identified and that's awesome. Now I have one more highlight of the year and I gotta give my shout outs here to our 3.5 hour conversation with the captain.
Oh, yeah.
We got to speak. He graciously lended us his time, and we had about a 3-hour conversation with Captain from True Crime Garage, and that has been released on Patreon, and he gave us such great advice. We had such great conversation. He's such a cool person in general, like just in normal life, not true crime, nothing. I mean, you could sit there and have a conversation with him about anything. Such a cool dude. And I feel so blessed that we have made that connection with him. I think he's a wonderful person. He's a great podcaster. He is very knowledgeable in the world of podcasting, and I'm so grateful that we were able to speak with him.
That was a lot. That was a lot of fun that evening.
That was. It was a lot of fun. We laughed. We were serious. We made crude jokes. It was a good time. So that was definitely one of my true crime highlights of this year.
That's a good one. I like that.
Talking to the captain.
Now you think about it, because that was one of those nights where, I mean, we met him at Crime Con and hung out with him, and
he followed us around Crime Con.
Yeah, he followed us around Crime Con. Of course he did. Yeah, that's it. Because you know he's
no, he really did kind of follow us around Crime Con.
Which, you know, here's the thing about him though: is he's not, he doesn't judge anything. He's a big guy, but he's not mean in any way. Pleasant. And I think, like you said, lending a time, I didn't even think about that. That was a highlight because I was like, man, I can't believe we just spent this much time on the phone or the computer having a conversation with him, because a lot of it didn't get out there. Some of it we kept to ourselves, but it was just nice to, you know, speak to the guy. And this is a guy who he's talking to some of the biggest names in crime.
They just released an interview with John Douglas.
Exactly. From Mindhunter.
Can we talk about John Douglas for a second? Well,
just, and that's a, just give you an idea. We spoke to him on the phone. I didn't think about that, Lauren. That's a good one. That's a really good one. Go ahead. Cry.
I'm done. John Douglas. I'm done with my.
Nope. John Douglas.
No. Well, John Douglas is the
shit.
Is the creme de la creme.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Here we go. Creme de la creme. Get that in there in this podcast. Coming up next month. Creme de la creme.
John Douglas is. I read Mindhunter when I was about 16, wow. And my whole goal in life, when I was a kid, I say kid, a teenager. I wanted to be in the behavioral science unit of the FBI. I literally joined the Navy. I joined the military because I was told by somebody that if you have a military background, you're more likely to be accepted into the FBI. So my whole goal was I was going to go do 4 years in the military, then I was going to go to college, then I was going to go to Quantico, join the FBI, and work with John Douglas.
And that's why I have a paralegal degree, because you did law.
And I did join the Navy. I did do 4 years, but life happened. I got a paralegal degree, and now I do hair.
Like she said, life happens and podcasts.
Life happens. Yeah, but so. I wouldn't change anything for the world right now.
Well, with that being said, I guess I can say my favorite true podcast of the year would have to be True Crime Garage.
Ditto. Same. True Crime Garage. Nick and Captain are my favorite.
They put it out there in such a way to where it's understandable. It's easy. And the thing I like about them the most is if you send them a message or you go onto their blog, they're not opposed to saying, hey, you know what? We were wrong about that. Our research showed us this, but for some reason, this was the actual. And I like that aspect of them. But I got to tell you, now me, I'm a sword and scale guy. Lauren can't do it. And one of the things in the last episode that I just listened to of True Crime Garage was he said that some people, when they hear gory stuff, they visualize it. Lauren's a visualizer. I'm not. So I can handle it. So sword and scale. But I got to tell you guys, if you don't know this podcast, it's called In the Dark. They do a fantastic job. It's a long form. There's one episode, not one episode, I'm sorry. There's one series, because the first series that they did was Jacob Wetherling. Now, the Jacob Wetherling case, they did this whole case, and like towards the very end, the guy got arrested. He confessed. He was arrested. So they busted the guy. So they're doing this whole podcast like, this guy just got caught, and now we've just laid out all this stuff. Then you go to season two, it's about Curtis Flowers. And if you just Google Curtis Flowers, you'll see this case. They talk to this guy's parents. They go after the prosecutor. They dig up so much information. They physically go there. They stay there in this community, which is like a downtrodden community, for months. And they study. They go to courthouses and go through these boxes of damp, moldy case files. And they go through all this stuff and they present it and they put it out to you in such a way to where it gets so much attention that the defense attorney uses this information to bring up an appeal. And just so you're aware, because of this podcast, and as you progress with it, you don't realize what you're going to get into, because they don't look at it as, hey, we're trying to free this guy. They look at it as, hey, we're trying to get this information out there to get, you know, to see what's going on with this. And now the guy is walking scot-free. So they pretty much got this guy exonerated for something that, if you listen to this podcast, the stuff they present is so true and so real that the guy is walking. I mean, he's out. He's free. And I mean, but in the beginning, there's so much stuff there. So Shot in the Dark, if you don't know that one, I think that might have came out last year. Actually, it's like 2017.
Yeah, it's not very new. No.
But if you haven't listened to it, definitely put it on your list, because once you listen to one or two episodes, you're really going to be hooked.
All right.
And of course, you know, 2020.
2020. I'm so looking forward to 2021. But you know, we can't like have a big New Year's party or anything, because, you know.
Well, we're not in New York. We're cool.
We're in Florida.
Yeah.
And our governor does not give a fuck.
You know. Well, just, you know, what's
But funny? We still have to actually, we have to take it upon ourselves to actually be
smart.
Smart.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, we won't be having any big New Year's party, but I am definitely going to be dancing, jumping on the bed in my underwear when the clock strikes midnight at December 31st.
I will be drunk.
Hopefully. I'll probably be drunk too.
Hopefully.
Jumping on the bed.
With 2020 underwear. Being said, I mean, and you know, the thing is about 2020 is everybody's going to be like, hey, what happened, man? What happened to you? 2020. Oh, nothing else needs to be said. 2020 is going to turn into like an excuse. But, you know, being 2020, what's like the biggest bummer for you of 2020?
Oh, God. What is the biggest bummer?
All
right. So let's talk about 2020 for a second.
Let's keep track of where we're at.
Okay. So 2020 started out normal, great. Everything's fine. March rolls around, start hearing about this virus, right? And then it's like, I remember seeing something on Facebook, probably around like March timeframe. Somebody said, oh, I wonder if CrimeCon's going to be canceled because of COVID-19. And I remember I said something to you. I'm like, oh my God, there's people thinking that CrimeCon's going to be canceled because of this stupid virus. Well, wouldn't you fucking know?
Wouldn't you know?
CrimeCon was canceled. No, it wasn't canceled. It was rescheduled.
It was rescheduled October, I think.
Halloween weekend.
Now, mind you, we have tickets. Bought tickets.
We had family. We had family ready to go.
We had reservations at hotels.
It was.
And then we got invited.
Yes, we were invited at CrimeCon. Now, we were going to be
We had bought tickets to go, and then they're like, "Hey, y'all want to go to CrimeCon? Hell yeah, we want
to
go
to the yeah."
So we got invited, and then it got canceled.
So there were so many bummers. So many bummers in 2020, but as far as the true crime world goes, I mean, I have some personal bummers, but we don't need to talk about that.
Well, then we have.
I want to say CrimeCon being canceled was the biggest bummer.
I mean, it's canceled, but, you know, we're still on the ticket for two events, you know, next year, which is not bad. I mean, hopefully with this stupid vaccine shit, you know, it can kind of get itself put back together and maybe it can happen. We'll cross our fingers and hopefully that. We got till June to figure it out. So we'll see. Cause we've got a lot of stuff riding on, you know, this happening.
Well, we're going to London either way because our tickets aren't refundable.
Neither's the hotel. So whether it happens or not, we're masking up or getting hazmat suits or whatever we got to do. We are going to UK. But we also were booked and we were going to have a booth at the Kansas City Podcast Festival. That was canceled.
The True Crime Podcast Festival in Kansas City.
And that, to me, that would have been cool, too. The thing I like about that one is that is some low-key podcasters who are up and coming or growing, kind of like, you know, like we are. I mean, we're still growing. And I think every podcast is going to say that
we're
going to
turn three this year.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sorry. In 2021, we're going to turn 3 years
old. That's a highlight of 2021. But the Kansas City thing kind of bummed me out because it was that I'd never been to Kansas City. A lot of people was like, oh, man, you'll love it in Kansas City. Do this, do this. You know, there was one little thing that was a bummer to me is there's a case that Lauren came to me. She's like, hey, I need the information on this because that's one of the things that I try to do in some of the cases. If she can't find it, I'll try to go to the courthouses or I'll go to the sheriff's office or wherever I can get the records and try to request the records. And one of the records requests from stupid-ass Fort Myers, which is literally one town north of us.
We still haven't gotten that.
I know. I requested it and they're like, yeah, well, we're working on it. Yeah, we're working on it. So I just sent them email after email. I've sent like 7 emails this year. They're like, well, there isn't much on this. So here's this. Then they send me this like booking report that's like a half page. And one of the things I had to tell you about sheriff's office stuff, Collier County does a great job of making sure a lot of the I's are crossed. I'm sorry, I's are crossed. I's are dotted, T's are crossed. They do a good job on the report.
How many beers have you had, Ken?
2, 5, 7.
I'm not ready for another one.
Well, okay. We'll go get one. I'm talking.
All right. You keep talking. I'm going to go get another beer.
Collier County does a pretty good job. Some of the stuff we get reports, it's like, really? There's like 5 lines filled out of 27 lines. So I try to request some, you make a lot of noise. I try to request some documents from Fort Myers. And they keep saying, oh, I'm sorry, we don't have this, we don't have that. And that to me can be tough. That's a big bummer for me because like one of these cases that was recommended to us by someone we interviewed and we're trying to lay it out. We're trying to put it out. And of course, now Lauren's like, I need you to do this. So I'm trying to go out there and get as much information as I possibly can for her because she puts it together, but I do a lot of the research, like try to find the stuff. So it's one of those where I'm trying to get the information and I can't. So to me, that was kind of a bummer, was trying to get the Lee County Sheriff's Office to give me some information. That was a bummer for me because I still don't have it.
Step it up.
Yeah, step it up, Lee County. What's wrong with you?
All right. So what is the best thing that happened to you personally in 2020?
Well, personally, well, a couple things. Personally, for me, one of the things that I liked is at my job, because of the COVID stuff, my job decided we're going to close at 1 o'clock for a whole month. I said, okay, cool. So we're going to cut our day in half. So I had half a day during one of the highlights of the day. And what I mean by highlights is where it's like the longest time of daylight. So I was able to come home and repaint my house. I got so much yard work done. Like my entire honey-do list was all done, to where I literally would sit down and I'd watch TV. So I was able to watch Netflix episodes. I watched the McDonald's Millionaire thing.
Ozark.
Shameless. I caught up on all my episodes on Netflix. I got the house painted. I felt like so done with it. I'm like, this is sweet. I didn't realize what was coming, the COVID thing, and how bad it was at the time. But that was one of the things that one of the things I really like. The other thing too is camp.
Oh gosh.
We have a camp. We have a campsite that's a stationary campsite to where we can just go hide. It's like an off the grid little spot. That's ours that we have. We can drive up tonight and just stay the night, and it's cool.
Yes.
So that's.
It's far away though. It's like 3 hours away, but.
You know what? That's what you got to do to get away though.
It is.
It's in one of the places where you don't want to fuck around. If shit hits the
fan, that's where we'll be. And we're not going to tell everyone where it is because, you know.
Exactly.
But if shit hits the fan, we're going to be somewhere in Florida. In the woods. And
good luck finding us.
Yeah, good luck finding us. You're going to need a 4x4.
You're going to need a 4x4, probably a drone. And just if you do find us, bring beer and vegetables.
I love just getting away, getting the F away from everything. I love it there. We bring in the dogs. The dogs love it. It's just.
They're so happy.
They are so happy when we go to camp.
It's funny to watch them because they run and play and they just get happy. You can see the smiles on their faces. So, what about you, Lauren? And what's, of all the shit show that 2020 has been, what's something that you are happy with?
Well, okay. So it started out as a bad thing. So in my real life, I am a hairstylist. And the salon that I was working at did not survive COVID. And that was a big bummer because I loved where I worked. I loved the people I worked with. I loved my clients. It just was so serendipitous that the day I found out that my salon would not reopen, I did get an email from the owner of a new I hesitate to call it a salon because it's not. It's more of a barber shop.
Barber shop.
But that's completely fine. I love doing men's hair. Men are much easier to please. They tip better. Sorry, ladies, but they do. And
well, you can do a man's hair in like 15 minutes and get a $5 tip, and you can spend 3 hours on a woman's hair and get a $20 tip.
Or you can spend 3 hours on a woman's hair and get a $5 tip.
Been there, huh?
Yes. So I did get a new job.
Tip your hairstylist, ladies.
And I'm very happy there. I love management. I love my coworkers. I love my job.
I will say I did notice a huge difference from where she was to where she went.
I'm making a lot more money.
To where she is now. She definitely loves it. And she did love the people she was with. It was just, it's a lot of work because you could sit there for 3 hours and literally work on one client.
Yeah.
In 3 hours, she can cut 10 men's hair.
Yeah.
And be done, satisfy 10 people as opposed to just one. So
I have to say that that's probably the best thing that's happened to me personally in 2020. And, what's our last, what are you most looking forward to in 2021?
2021, I guess the same thing everybody else is. Just like a new start.
The fact it's
like,
that it's not 2020 anymore.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I see the meme on Facebook. Thank you. You know who you are, meme lady.
Our favorite meme.
Meme lady. The meme goddess.
she knows exactly who she is.
Exactly. She will know exactly who we're talking about. She's awesome. I love her to death. And she's a Patreon too, which is even better. But, seeing the meme, it's hindsight's 2020. Nobody's ever going to say that term anymore. Okay. Because hindsight 2020 sucks. Because that just means everything is shitty. Because 2020 is shitty. But 2021, I'm hoping kind of like just a new start like everybody else. Just like, I know that it's just a day, but here comes 2021. And, you know, we've got the vaccine release for COVID, which should help. If anything, it's going to help back off some of the fear. Because I think a lot of people live, are just, they just want to get out. They want to do something. They want to feel safe. And I think that's kind of the thing I'm looking for in 2021. And I'm just hoping that that happens. I'm hoping that we have a nice crime con season, if you will, in the summer. I'm hoping crime con does make it here. If you don't have your tickets, buy it. Paradise 21.
Use 21, 10% off.
Promo code. It's just one of those. I'm looking forward to that because that's going to be literally a summer of crime con because for us, we go to Austin and then we come home for 2 days. We turn around, we go right to UK.
I don't even know if we should come home because literally we come home on Monday and fly out again on like Tuesday.
We have to come home. We have to do laundry. I don't have that much
clothes.
We're going
to go from Texas to Florida just to do laundry.
And to go back to Newark to fly into UK.
To fly to London.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be.
It's going to be crazy.
But you know what? I'll be honest.
I'm going to love it.
It is. It's going to be a great. So I'm looking forward to a great Crime Con summer. And the thing about Crime Con for us that I found out when we went just as guests, we had tickets. We walked in the door. We met. And we actually have our own Facebook group. Of some CrimeCon
OGs, shout out.
So we met some great people. They were just really good people. We all had sort of common interest, and a lot of them took an interest into our podcast. We took interest in the things they were doing. We encouraged some people to do a podcast. Mm-hmm. It was just a really good scenario. We met great podcasters. The one thing about the podcasters that I found, and even the TV stars, you know, like Rhodey Sanchez, that guy come up, he's like, "How you doing, man?" He was so nice and so cordial.
I love Rhodey Sanchez.
He never looked at himself
so smooth.
Oh my God, that guy is like,
he's like
Sinatra smooth
in like a way I can't. Pinpoint.
He got that Cajun talk to him too.
Hey, he does.
How you doing, ma'am?
Yes, exactly.
Lauren's like, "Oh my God, it's Rhodey Sanchez." Now, the best part was, I think we talked about it, was there's this line of people, like 45 people that paid money to do the, or no, I guess they didn't pay money. They were just lined up to do the meet and greet.
To meet and greet Rhodey Sanchez.
We literally walk over. Lauren's like, "I'm not standing in this line." We turn to walk out. Here comes Rhodey Sanchez, and he walks right up to Lauren. And he goes, "How you doing, ma'am?" And she's like, fine. And then they chatted and they talked about his drink because it was 10 a.m. and
I got a picture with him.
He was drinking a road soda. But anyway, but CrimeCon is like, to me, that's like the ultimate. CrimeCon is the ultimate. If you are into true crime, even if you don't go to this one, go to a CrimeCon because you'll meet people and the podcasters are so laid back and easy to deal with. Even Nancy Grace, just she was out there running around.
She's so sweet.
Everybody,
and you would never expect her to be as sweet as she is. If you watch her show,
if you didn't murder somebody in your family, she is sweet as shit to you. But if you murder somebody in your family, she will come after you hardcore.
But she is so sweet in real life.
Exactly. But it's one of those where that to me is something that I'm really looking forward to. Is just to make the new friends, to meet some new people, new podcasters. Just it's really going to be great. I think that's kind of what I'm hoping for. So what are you looking for in 2021, Lauren?
Basically everything you just said, the end of COVID. I'm hoping that this vaccine will kind of squash it. I don't know if I'm going to get the vaccine or not. I don't even know who gets to get the vaccine.
There's actually an app that you can download that if you fill in all your information, it'll tell you where you lie in receiving the COVID vaccine.
But either way, There's a vaccine. I feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm just hoping that we can get through this and get out of it. And I'm so looking forward to Austin and London Crime Con. That's just what I've got my sights set on for 2021. And, basically everything you just said.
And here's something else I would like for 2021. I would like for our listeners, hit us up, you know, say, "Hey, man, great podcast," or "Hey, shitty podcast." Hey, I hated this episode.
No, I don't want to hear shitty podcasts.
No. I don't care what your feedback is. Because we want to grow. We want to get better. The only way, you know, we love to hear the, hey, man, great podcast, great this. Hey, you did great. Hey, we don't like Ken because he does this. We love Lauren, not Ken. We want to hear that too. We want to hear, hey, I didn't like this episode because of this. The reason is if we can take the things that you don't like and make them better, we can grow too. So if there's something about a podcast that you like or don't like, hit us up. Let us know.
Yes.
You know, but when it comes to the ratings, we need 5 stars.
And I'm so grateful for our listeners. Thanks for sticking in there with us. We literally built this podcast from the ground up.
From gaming headphones, folks.
Knowing absolutely nothing to now being invited to
one of the biggest shows there is.
CrimeCon UK, CrimeCon Austin. We were invited to CrimeCon Orlando, but that got canceled. We are so, and we wouldn't be here if we didn't have the listeners.
Yeah, you guys are great.
And our patrons. Oh my gosh.
Those are our family. We talked about that before. Earlier.
You guys, your small donations literally keep us going. We're not rolling in cash, but our patrons, we love you. Thank you so much. Our listeners, we love you. And, oh, goodbye 2020.
Goodbye 2020.
Hello 2021. Yep. We wish everyone a very Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. And we wish you a Merry Christmas.
A Happy New Year. We wish you a
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Again, if you would like to support the show, please subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/ParadiseAfterDarkPodcast.
And check out our Etsy store, folks, for some awesome Paradise After Dark gear. I think we're going to work next year. We're kind of working on a new logo.
We are. So we if you are. So there's going to be some new stuff on Etsy.
If you're a graphic designer and you can work with computer graphics,
hit us up.
Contact Ken because I've got to talk to you. We're working on something. I need help.
Please make sure to follow us on social media at Paradise After Dark Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And we are at Paradise Dark 239 on Twitter.
And I got to tell you, when she says that, she means that. She gets messages all the time. I get them all too. And there's times I'll go to like respond and I'm like, damn it. How did she do that? She's quick. If she can get to you, she'll respond back to you. If you have a question, a case suggestion, she's talking about, she's already setting up interviews. She's setting up cases. She's already researching stuff. She's amazing when it comes to that. So seriously, if you guys follow her on social media, if you have something, hit her up.
Can we talk about MVP? Paradise After Dark MVP?
Yeah, Lauren's the best. Lauren's the best. Just keep saying that. We really know who the star is. And you can email us at paradiseafterdark@gmail.com.
And please make sure to subscribe to the show on whatever platform you're listening on and rate and review. This really helps us branch out and reach a wider audience.
And again, thank you to our patrons. Thank you, guys. We really appreciate that this year. You guys have been huge. Some of you have started out small and grown bigger, and we want to just say thank you very much again. And everyone, always Happy New Year, and thanks for listening
to Paradise After Dark.
Dark, 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 dark.